We are Great Northern. This is Solon, and I'm Rachel.
Hello, Solon and Rachel. I haven't seen you since last week. It's been a long time.
I know, two times in 1 week.
That's really, we got to stop this. So you and Rachel, Solon, were friends for, according to what I've read, for precisely 7 years. It might be 7 years and 2 days. And you talked eventually about making music and started trading four-track recordings and...
We've known each other for about 10 years. Started writing together about 5.5 or 6 years ago. And it started out very simple, just with four track and acoustic guitars and piano and vocals. And then it kind of built into recording at a studio that I was part owner in. So we got to record there for free. And, those songs, over the course of a couple of years and re-recording them and whatnot, became our first record, Trading Twilight for Daylight. And then we toured for about a year and a half on that record. And started writing in the process for this record. Recorded and wrote this record all in the summer of 2008 into fall and winter, and finished by January, and now we are here in March.
Incredible.
That is telling it like it is.
I'm just in awe. This moment in time, I think
this whole music,
the continuity factor was, was beautiful.
The music industry is really, it's an amazing thing.
But you know, it's kind of, it just hit me because I have all those records and I've had them since day one, and I'm trying to look at the trajectory now. But the thing that everybody assumes, you know, they'll watch an interview like this and it's like, oh, well, they just made a record and here they are and overnight. But this has been how long a process?
We started writing together like 6 years ago.
Yeah,
that was when
Trading Twilight started. We didn't really start playing shows until maybe 2 years after that.
Yeah.
So we've really been playing, I mean, out for what? 3.5 years?
No, more than that.
Three,
well, around
plus
there.
Or minus, somewhere in there. But we basically started out as a studio band, just us two.
We had access to the studio because he was part owner, so we'd go in there every day for like 8 months. It was a luxury when I look back because we had, the timing just was right, you know? We would go there every day and record from 10 in the morning till 4 in the morning and just experiment and learn how to use the equipment, and it was awesome. And then we re-recorded that record like twice, but...
I think it's... I feel it's a little bit better to not have so much time.
Have a little structure.
Yeah, because then you're very like, okay, we've got 3 months to make the record. We've got, whatever, 6 months to write it. So we basically finished touring in April of 2008, and our record's already done, and we're back out on tour, so...
But when you formed this band, and obviously Ashley and Davey came along, and, you know... You kind of had a soundtrack in your head, did you not, of some sort? I mean, you had a thought behind what this was going to represent, right? The name and kind of where the music was going to go?
I think it kind of told us what it wanted to be. We always have had similar taste in music, like on records across the board, we have like the same favorite song most of the time. And so what comes out of us is the soundtrack of Great Northern. And then David Lynch... let us borrow the name. Or so we hope he lets us, because we still haven't.
Haven't heard from Mr. Lynch yet?
No.
We haven't heard from his people.
You know that? And Solon, you kind of come from a musical background, because tell me about what your dad wrote and played.
Well, my father and my mother owned a nightclub. I basically grew up in a club in Fresno. And then they had a band together. And we lived on a big farm, and we had chickens and sheep and cows and all that nonsense, and a recording studio, and all the friends would come there and record and make music. And then he, when his band situation didn't really work out the way he wanted it to, he started teaching. He's a music teacher, and that led into conducting in his school situation. And growing up, we just had kind of instruments all over the place, and pianos and drums and whatever. And yeah, that's kind of how it started. I think my first band, I was 13.
So this new album has a pretty big sound. You know, it's melodic, but it's definitely epic in many ways. You know, the track, we'll talk about the tracks in a second. But tell me about when you go in and you're trying to achieve that sound now in terms of producers and self-producing versus working with a producer and mixers. I mean, you definitely have a vision there, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, we started when we came off tour in April last year. We bought just kind of a handful of equipment to have a home studio, just kind of a little computer setup. And we recorded about 30 songs. Some were much more elaborate, and other ones were really just kind of basic things. And we started getting this very specific sound. We were doing drums in the apartment, and guitars, and vocals, and it all had this kind of... And then some drum machine, so there was this balance of really a really compact sound with a really ambient, open sound. And then when we started thinking about producers, we thought of... We'd never worked with a producer before, and we thought it'd be kind of interesting to and beneficial to work with somebody that wasn't necessarily of the same musical genre or school of thought. So we go and find this guy who's
worked on
a bunch of hip-hop records and did the Unheard Duran Duran record. And his name is Michael Patterson, and he has a partner named Nick Jodouet. And they were very like-minded, not in always, but in they really liked what we had done at home. So about half, a little less than half of the instrumentation is done at our home studio.
We kind of worked off the old
and
demos and then brought in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we balanced it, tried to keep, you know, elements, and we might go do a vocal at the studio and be like, oh, you gotta go do that at home.
It was like we were getting homework every night with these producers. They would be like, put this part together and this part together at home. And then, because our home studio has like an arch ceiling, so that the way the vocals sound is very roomy, and same with some of the guitar and stuff like that. So we'd go home at night, do our homework, and bring it back to them, and then start again. It was
a
trip.
Sometimes we got an A.
Sometimes we didn't.
It's the first time I've ever heard a producer described as giving homework. I've heard many, many stories, but that's a different version of it.
That's kind of what it felt like, but it was cool. It was like such a learning process, because they were very specific, and, you know, I've never done so many takes of anything in my entire life.
Yeah, I mean,
it was great though.
We, out of the whatever 30 so songs that we had, some songs were like, all right, that's perfect, that's great. Maybe we'll switch a few things around here and then listen to another thing. All right, 5 seconds of that is really cool, and it might go with this 10 seconds of that other idea. So we'll go home and work on those and write it. So then we go home and write a song out of it, which was really cool. It was some, you know, artists don't always think in structure. They think of just like getting it out. And when you have somebody not... You know, there's people that write music for artists, and there's people that are like, what you are doing is great, but you just need a little guidance as to,
Speaking of the songs, and I just have to say on a personal basis, it's very good for me because, you know, talking is so hard. So some of the songs with one word titles make my life very.
Yeah, like, that wasn't intentional.
It just happened. Like, we looked at the songs when we were done, we decided which ones were going to go on the record and stuff, and they all had one name. We're like, oh, that's really weird. Except for one song.